report out. Series as we're looking through the book of Daniel and in a six-part series, and so excited about this series. It's an awesome and very timely series that we're looking at for the next 6 weeks or next 3 weeks now. I just want to, before we get started in this and as we get prepared to get started, be sure and grab your message notes. We'll be going through those a lot to give you today. It's going to be an awesome study. But before I do, I just wanted to give a shout out to some Dream Teamers around here. I've been doing this, and just want to say how much I appreciate those, especially that are serving in our facilities team and that take care of our grounds and our facilities here. And having said that, let me just point out something that's going to be happening this week, and that is that this coming Friday, we got an army coming, literally. There is a military unit that is coming thanks to Cody McQueen. He's heading up this project. Come on, give it up for Cody. Anybody that wants to help with that, it happens on May 1st, Friday. If you're not working on Friday, if you want to take a day off, you know, that's a good reason to. But we're going to be meeting here next Friday, and we're going to be taking down all of the Bradford pears that are out here. And so, and I know for all y'all that say, that's a tree. Why are you cutting down the tree? It's okay. We're going to replant some, okay? We're going to replant some that are a little bit better to have accessibility to see our church, more visibility. We're going to be planting out some crepe myrtles instead of the Bradford pears, which are just a very maturing tree that often splits when it ices and all this kind of thing. A little bit of a problem tree for us, so we're going to just sort of clear the slate and start fresh and give it a fresh new look, and I think it's going to be awesome for the church. So that'll be happening this coming Friday. And so just want to encourage you, if you'd like to help with that, men, women, it doesn't matter, boys, girls, children, it doesn't matter, elderly, young, we don't care. Just come and help us. We'd love to have you here if you can, if you're available to do so and be a part of that. It's going to be a great day. Also, a lot of other things are going to be happening. You'll see next Sunday in the house as well as some changes are going to be happening that they're going to help us with, because we got about 30 to 40 soldiers coming, right? In fact, we're going to extend to them an invitation to come next Sunday, and we'll acknowledge them. I hadn't told you that. I'm just telling you that from here. How about that? Come next Sunday. We could use 30 or 40 soldiers in here next week. Come on, right, everybody? Especially since I happen to know some things, and I know about 30 or 40 of you are going to be gone next week. I think it'll help us. But anyway, but we were looking forward to that, and I just want to thank you for all that's being done around here. A lot of changes happening, and we're going to continue to move forward as the Lord calls us to, you know. And we're just seeing life change happen. Let me just take a moment to say, lives are changing around here. And what is a win for us? I just want to make sure we define what success is for us. Success is not just a multitude. I think a multitude can be a result of success, but that's not success. Success is when we see one life moving and changing and taking the next step. A life coming and getting saved, giving their life to Christ. A life then, after getting saved, getting delivered, right? Set free. Then a life being redeemed and understanding what God's called them to do, and then seeing that life begin to do that and be fulfilled in their calling and make a difference in this world. That's what success is, right? And we need to make sure we have a clear picture of what that means. And so things are happening. We're having some people graduate from Growth Track today. We had some that actually that couldn't work it out on Sunday, so we worked it out on during the week, and they've just finished the Growth Track and joining the team. Man, we got people joining the production team. Listen to this. Joining the children's team. Parents give it. And joining, get this, the nursery team. Hallelujah. You know that's a godsend from heaven above. Amen. So no, but we're just really excited about what God is doing, and so thankful for all those that are serving. I didn't even cover all the areas that people are serving in, and so I'm just so thankful. Just want to mention that. So let's go ahead and get into this study very quickly here from Daniel. This, if you haven't been a part of this up to now, let me just kind of bring you up to date. This is verse-by-verse study of 12 chapter book of Daniel. Six chapters of it are historic and six chapters of it are prophetic, as a prophetic section. And actually, this book is put in the prophetic section of the Bible. It's grouped in that section of prophetic books. It was a time that we're looking at today when Israel was invaded by Babylon, which is today modern-day Iraq. There was a king, a bad king named Nebuchadnezzar, who came and tore down Jerusalem and tore down the walls and took the Israelites into captivity for 70 years. This was actually a prophecy that God said was going to happen because of Israel's rebellion, refusing to follow his word, and they fell into captivity. Daniel was actually about 16 years old when he was taken into captivity and made a slave, and Daniel, along with some of his buddies, actually served in the court of the king. They were set apart to serve the king, so he was given a lot of influence there. But there was an application here for us today. Again, I want to emphasize that this is a prophetic book. It's not just a historic book. We're not just talking about a story that happened centuries ago that has no relationship to today. It is a very prophetic book. And so it speaks to us today very parallel. In fact, it's very eerie, actually, when you look at how similar the society that Daniel was in the society today. And Daniel was confronted with this secular, very secular society, and so he had to decide whether he was going to be able to stay and stand in his faith, in his God, in the midst of this secular society. And so the question is then, how can we stand strong and be godly in a culture, in a secular society that's very ungodly? And so that's the basis of this study. And in part one, we looked at, that the first thing culture wants to do is change your identity, who you are. They take you from being made in the image of God, and they want to conform you to their image. And Satan wants to do that. He wants to distort what God has created. But how do we do that? And then, so we talked about how that God has an identity for us that he made us to be. In fact, that's part of our purpose for the growth track, is that you come to 301 and you go through an assessment and try to help us. We're going to help you discover really what God has created you to be, what God has designed you to be. And when you do that, you become fulfilled in your faith. And so we looked at that. And really, to me, by the way, I know this is not a word, funnest one of all, funnest. It's the most fun is the 301, just come in. And I've seen people go through this and their eyes open up. We go, oh, wow, how did you know? And yeah, this makes sense. And it clicks and you understand really how God has designed you and be fulfilled in that. But that was part one, identity. Number two, the second week, part two of this was that we went in this culture that we're in. Oftentimes we're confronted with culture's greatest test. And that greatest test is, who will you worship? Who is your loyalty to? Who are you really going to worship? And so we talked about that last week. And then today I want to talk about not what is culture's greatest test, but really what is culture's greatest sin. And this is probably the most somber, most serious, maybe not a shouting kind of message, but it's really a challenging message to us. And it deals with this thing called pride. Pride. Culture's greatest sin, I believe, is pride. And you could name all kind of other sins from one thing to the other, but most of them will direct you right back to pride. They stem out of this pride, this arrogance. God, we've got this. I can do this my way. And when we do things our way, then we begin to go into all these other areas and all these other sins happen in our life because we stray from understanding that our total dependence is upon God. And so this story is all about this that we're going to look at today. And the story begins where Nebuchadnezzar is speaking and Daniel is translating here. And actually, this story begins at the end. Have you ever watched one of those movies where they start out with a scene and then they go, okay, now how did he get here? And they go back and the whole story is bringing you up to date as to what happened. Well, that's kind of how this is laid out. Look in Daniel chapter 4, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar says to the peoples, nations, and men of every language who lived in all the world. Now look at this. He says, may you prosper greatly. Now let me just say, he's not talking about a prosperity of finances necessarily. In fact, the word there is shalim, where we get, which means soul, as your soul prospers. It's a prosperity of the soul. That word shalim is where we get the word shalom or peace. And so he says, may your soul, may there be a prosperity of your soul. May you prosper greatly. And he says, it is my pleasure to tell you about the miraculous signs and wonders that the Most High God has performed for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. His dominion endures from generation to generation. That means 2015. That means even our generation, there's an application here, and there is a picture, really, in this that we're going to see of today. And Nebuchadnezzar was a guy who was very much full of pride. He was very arrogant. And he went insane. The story shows how that he went insane. God humbled him until he came to acknowledge him as God. That's what this portion of Scripture is talking about, where he finally comes and he acknowledges God. But he had this insanity. And so I want us to realize, again, it's a picture of today. And I want us to see that we actually at times are living in an end time insanity. Insanity. When you take that word insanity and really understand what the definition of it is, it really means deranged thinking. Deranged thinking. Our thinking is off. And that thinking being off, that deranged thinking, produces turmoil of the soul. And I believe we're living in a time where we're in end time insanity, where we get away from God and get away from God's word. And we're thinking and we're living in a way that's different from God's word, different from God's way, different from God's will. And we're living in the chaos of that. And I believe we could all look around us today in the world in which we live and we can see that we are living in a chaos. In fact, even this planet is moaning and groaning. And it's a chaotic world. And we're living as a result of this insanity of thinking that we've got this. And that is rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride, and this end time insanity causes chaos and turmoil. But here's the truth, here's the fact, and that is that God wants your soul to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to live in peace. I believe God wants us to have a society of peace. And so this message today is not just a historical laying out of what happened. This is a warning. It's a prophetic warning, I believe, to us today. And I'm just going to go as far to say and be bold. I believe it's a warning to our great, wonderful country of America, that we need to recognize that our dependence is upon God. And I believe it's a warning that we need to heed God's word. You know, America is put here to be as blessed by God, and it's to be a blessing by God. But if we ever get away from understanding that our dependence is on God, and that, yes, in God we do trust, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And there's a warning. And so I want us to see this. In Daniel chapter 4, in verse 4, let's pick it up. Daniel was at home. He says, Daniel chapter 4, he says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at home in my palace, contented and prosperous. Now, again, I'm not a type of preacher that wants to get up in people's face, but this word is really just going to get in our face today, okay? And we're going to see some things, and it's going to help us identify how we could fall into the same place if we're not careful, and it's a warning to us. And here was Nebuchadnezzar, and he was in his palace. He was contented. He had wealth. He had achievement. He had success. And this is the place he found himself. And there's three things I want to mention very quickly that lead to pride. We've got to be careful as a people, as a person, as a family, and as a nation, that we don't fall into this situation of just being content, I'm prosperous, everything's good, and our relationship with God oftentimes becomes a fire alarm relationship. You know what I mean? When the fire alarm goes off, when there's a fire, we're going to run to God. God, help us, help us, help us. But when the fire is over, you know, where is everybody? 9/11 happens and the church is full. They give a little time and the church empties out. Are you following me? So here's the question. Can we be prosperous and stay close to God? Let me mention three things. Insanity happens, first of all, when we're self-sufficient instead of God-dependent. When we're self-sufficient instead of God-dependent. And you say, well, I'm God-dependent. I'm not self-sufficient. I'm God-dependent. But well, are we? And we got to, now this is, we need to ask ourselves, are we really? Let me show you, let me tell you where oftentimes it shows up as to whether we're really God-dependent or whether we're self-sufficient, and that's in our prayerlessness. Right? As I just said, well, 9/11 happens, whatever form that takes in your life. Your 9/11 happens, and you, oh God, where are you? And I think God might be saying, yeah, where are you? Where were you? So, our prayerlessness, do we spend time? And I'm guilty at times too. When things go bad, look, man, we're first to hit our knees, and God help us. But when everything, when we think we got it, we're on our own. Can I tell you, on your best of days, hello, I'm here to encourage you. You're still a mess. I'm just saying. At best, we're all a mess, right? And on our best of days, when the sun's shining and everything's looking good, we still desperately need Him. We're totally dependent upon Him. And we need to make sure, how does this thing supposed to look, this Christian walk? We need to pray every day. We need to pray, God, give us our daily bread. We need to declare our dependence upon God every day. There's an atheism that is prayerlessness. But I want to remind this church today, and God convicted me on this, the church is built on prayer. Hello? Quiet in here. The church is built, that's because you're listening, I know. The church is built on prayer. It's not built on a personality. It's not built on lights. It's not built on pushing certain buttons. And trust me, I've tried to push many buttons over the years. And I've had many people over the years telling me which buttons to push. And we've tried to push them all. Let me tell you, it's not in pushing the buttons. Church is built on prayer, right? It's built on God's presence showing up. We're totally dependent upon God's presence showing up. Lights aren't going to save anybody. And we're going to have more lights, hopefully, God willing. You know, we're going to do everything we can to create atmosphere. But I want to tell you, all that in and of itself is not enough. We need His presence, right? We need His presence. Look, I know who I am, and I know who I'm not, right? My son's getting ready to graduate UNC Charlotte, and he's got this tassel that's got this great honor to it, you know, and he's up there in the, you know, upper echelon did well. He's graduating next month, and we got this, one of the designer girls are graduating also. We got some graduate, but let me tell you how I graduated. You know, there's magna cum laude, summa cum laude, you know, all them. I'm graduated, thank the good Lord. Y'all know that. Come on, give your brother some love. I'm just saying, I know who I am, and if you think this guy's going to make it happen, I ain't going to make it happen. But here's what I do know. We're dependent, and you're dependent. I'm dependent, you're dependent, we're all dependent on God's presence showing up in us and through us. And when that happens, let me tell you, great things can happen, eternal things can happen, supernatural things can happen. We're totally dependent upon God's presence. And if we ever get away from that, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. This is good preaching. All three of you said amen. I appreciate it. Amen. Look at this dream that he had. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream. He had this dream about this tree that was flourishing, was growing, full of fruit. Birds were in it. Beautiful tree. Great, healthy tree. And then the tree was cut down to a stump. And so Nebuchadnezzar searched throughout the kingdom, all these magicians and all these people, sorcerers that could tell him what the meaning of this dream was, and nobody could tell him what the meaning of the dream was, and he heard that Daniel could interpret the dream. And so he came to the king to interpret the dream in Daniel chapter 4, verse 22. Let's pick it up. And Daniel steps up and he says to him, you, O king, now listen to this. The king is looking at this tree saying this tree was cut down, and he's hoping that's his enemies. It's a sign that his enemies are going to be cut down. But instead, Daniel steps up and he says, you, O king, are that tree. Now that took some courage because he could have had his neck. He was a bad dude. He had not been converted at this point. All right? And so, but with great boldness, as every man of God in every generation should be bold, regardless of what the populace is saying, as the culture of the day is, you need to be able to stand, not being ugly, but stand firm and declare the truth to a generation. Daniel stood up and he said, you have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky. He says, you've become great and strong. And I got to say this to America. America, you've become great and strong. Ma'am, you've become great and strong. Sir, you've become great and strong. And look at this. He says, and your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky. And he says, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. And he says, you, O king, saw a messenger, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, an angel, he saw an angel in his dream come down. And he says, cut down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump. Now, I love this because look at this. But leave the stump. God always leaves the ability for you to come back to him. Isn't that great? People talk about retribution. You know, God's going to rain down judgment on America. Let me just make it clear. It's not God's judgment. It's that we stepped out from under God's protection. Come on. We think, well, God's judgment. No, we by our own stepped out from under God's protection. And let's be clear about that. We bring it on ourselves, right? And that's oftentimes what happens. But look at this. God always leaves a way to come back to him. Isn't that beautiful? When we come to him in contrite and humble spirit and say, God, I'm sorry. He says, okay. When we're truly sincere and repentant, he says, okay. He's always ready to live a way to come back to him. Look what he goes on to say. So, but leave the stump, bound with iron and bronze in the grass of the field, while its root remains in the ground. Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live like the wild animals until seven times pass for him. For 7 years, you're going to go insane. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my Lord. This is in your notes, picking up this part you have in your notes. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. And so it was end time insanity. Insanity happens when you're self-sufficient instead of dependent upon God. Look at this. Insanity also happens, number two, when we give ourselves the credit instead of thanking God. And I tell you, here's the key to this. We need to always give thanks to God. We need to always acknowledge him. We need to be a thankful people. When it's raining, we need to say, Lord, thank you for this rain. I was preparing this message, and it was raining this week, and I got my wife on the phone, and I said, look at this beautiful day, and it's raining, and God is watering his earth. It's just wonderful. And she said, are you being sarcastic, you know? And I said, I'm trying not to be, because I got a message I'm preparing, and it's all about this, that whatever comes our way, even with this bad, God will turn it around for good. So whatever happens, even when you have a bad day, you say, thank God for this, because through this, I'm going to learn something. When something befalls you that's really bad, listen, Bible says in everything, and then if people say, well, it doesn't say for everything. Guess what? There's another place that says for everything. I would cause, even for that, God will take what the devil meant for bad, he'll turn it around for good. And you say, even on their bad days, even when something bad happens to you, you thank God for that. Yes, that's insanity. No, I would present to you that's the most sane thing that you can do. Insanity is to not acknowledge God and turn the other way. Are you following me? Right? So we need to get sanity back. And that's by offering up thanks to God. I heard about a lady who had her leg amputated, and she was a church like ours that fills out a prayer card, and she had put on the prayer card, you know, how thankful she was, and pray for her leg that has been amputated, it won't stop bleeding. And she said, all you intercessors are such a blessing, and every day is good, and every day is wonderful. God's so good to me. And you know, you're reading a card like that by somebody that's had her leg amputated, you get convicted. You know, some of us just need to go visit the hospital, you know, when we're having a bad day and see somebody else that's got a problem, right? And she was just encouraging. And so she had a good, she even when her leg was amputated, that was a good day. Yes, and I'm going to tell you, her attitude is the most sane attitude, and that's what we need more of, right? She gets it. So here's the thing. We need to be thankful. Look what 1 Corinthians, this is not in your notes. This is for free. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, what are you so puffed up about? What do you have that God hasn't given you. And if all you have is from God, why act as though you have accomplished something on your own? That's good stuff from the Living Bible. Right? And so we need to be thankful when we give to God. Right? Let's get real. When we give to God, our tithes, that's our 10%. I didn't make that number up, by the way. God did. I mean, God didn't make it up. God created that, right? And it wasn't that, well, I got to give God. Look, it's not that you're not even giving it to him. It's not like it's already his. Are you understanding that? It's everything you have is his. He owns 100%. Are you following me? He owns this coat I'm wearing. He owns the shirt I'm wearing. He owns the roof over my head. He owns every hair on my head. When I'm writing him a check, he owns the check and the pen that's writing the check. Are you following me? Everything belongs to him, right? And so acknowledge him and realize that it's all his anyway. And don't act like, well, I'm all puffed up. I did good. I'm going to write the church. I'm going to change the world. I'm going to write this check. Understand, it's all his anyway, right? Right? And we're acknowledging him. And so Daniel chapter 4, verse 26 says this: the command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you, look, when you acknowledge that heaven rules. Heaven rules. Isn't that great? So here's the thing. Number one, is that oftentimes we think that we're self-sufficient when we need to be God-dependent and we need to express that through prayer. Number two, we think that you have all this because you have done something and accomplished something in your own power, and we need to give God the credit for all our blessings, and that is expressed through worship, right? So number one, we express that through prayer. Number two, through worship. Here's one last critical one, number three. When we think we know best, this is in time and sanity, when we think we know best, instead of acknowledging that heaven rules. Heaven rules. We live in a day, we live in a society that we think we rule. I mean, we really do. And we debate things. And we make up our own rules. And we debate marriage and we debate sexuality and we debate these things if we just make up our own mind and do it our own way. And yet, we know what the Bible says, but we say, oh, that was a long time ago. We progressed since then. You know, the Bible's archaic. But let me tell you something. The further we get away from God's Word, the more insanity we incur upon ourselves and the more chaos in this world. What am I talking about? I'm talking about truth here this morning. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to get on a soapbox. I'm declaring that we need to, the Bible, heaven rules. God does know best. We don't know best. And in serving God, God's word, he never said that you have to understand it. You trust him. It's a relationship of trust and obedience to him. And when we do that, it produces peace in our life. And our life is blessed. And when we don't, when we get away, say, no, I know what I'm doing, God. I'm going to do it my way. Guess what? Then we have all kind of insanity and chaos settle in. Is this making any sense to anybody today? Right? And today, I believe there's chaos in the street because we've rejected God's word. Well, how can you prove that? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, that's point number one, and pray, point number two, and seek my face, point number three, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And I believe today, church, we need some healing in our land, right? Amen. When we get back to God's way, I mean, it works. It works. And oftentimes, we've rejected God. We have tragedies that have happened throughout our time in schoolrooms and all the things that happen, and we've rejected God. And this is not just about whether there's prayer in school or not in school. I'm talking about we've rejected him on every front. Anything that looks like Christ, we're saying it's offensive. Get rid of it. There's a lawsuit somewhere, right? Come on. It's insanity. It's insanity. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2 says, this is the one I esteem. Now, who wants to be esteemed? Can I say a show? Who wants God to esteem them? Okay, this is an intelligence check, okay? How many wants God to esteem you? Anybody wants God to esteem you? All right. I think the nods. Listen to what it says. This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. And so we got to come to a place where we say, I don't know what's best, God, but you know what's best. You know what's best. I don't understand, but the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. Look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 27. Therefore, O king, be pleased to accept my advice. Now, Daniel is going to give him some advice. What do we do about all this? Renounce your sins by doing what is right and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. But we know that Nebuchadnezzar didn't do that. He refused to repent. And he says, it may be that then your prosperity will continue. Then you're going to have peace in your life. You're going to have peace in your heart. Things are going to change. You're going to be blessed in the soul. All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, is not this the great Babylon I have built? He looked upon all those hanging gardens of Babylon that he had created and said, as the royal residence, by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. The words were still on his lips when a voice came from heaven. This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken from you. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. That's exactly what happened. You will eat grass like cattle. 7 times, that's 7 years, will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of men and gives them to anyone he wishes. Immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. It goes on, and this is in your notes there. At the end of that time, look at this. After all was said and done, at the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven and my insanity was restored. And so after going through all this, Nebuchadnezzar looks up to heaven. He recognized heaven rules. He recognized God's ultimately in charge. He is sovereign. He is God. He looked up, and when he looked up and raised his eyes toward heaven, acknowledging him, he says, my sanity was restored. Then, where am I? Was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, what have you done? At that time, my sanity was restored. My honor and splendor were returned to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt the glory and glorify the kingdom of heaven because everything he does is right. Everybody say that with me. Everything he does is right. And all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. He is able to humble. Powerful story. But it's for us today. And so Daniel's given king advice, but he's also given us advice as well. And that is, look, just if you don't like, I mean, if you like feathers, I'm just saying this is, you know, just follow Nebuchadnezzar's example. But if you don't like feathers, okay, if you don't want to have the chaos in your life, follow God's will for your life and follow God's word. And here's what's beautiful. God is always willing, get this, God is always willing and ready to forgive you when you turn to him. When you, instead of acknowledging, well, I can do this myself. And I know there's a tendency in our society. I'm going to pull up my own bootstraps. This got to be done. I got to do it. I got to make this happen. If I just work harder. And that's the society in which we live. But I want to tell you, we are totally dependent upon God. Now, I'm not saying we're not supposed to work hard and do our part. I'm not advocating laziness, but I am saying that in all of our efforts, it means nothing unless God's in it. The Bible says, unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Your labor is in vain. Your sweat equity means nothing. What we need is God's Spirit. You can have a house but not have a home. You can have a marriage, come on, but you may not have love in that marriage. You can have children but have no respect. I want to tell you, but when God's in the house, when His Spirit rules and reigns, there is peace in the home, there's peace in the house, and God's going to bless us. Amen? When we follow His ways and not our ways. In fact, in Psalm 51, it says that the humble and contrite in spirit, He will in no wise cast out, right? It's being humble in spirit. So let me give you three things very quickly. Very quickly, let me just list you three things that we need to do. Number one, exalt the King of Heaven. Exalt the King of Heaven. Exalt the King of Heaven. What does that mean? It means worship Him with all of your heart, with everything you've got. In fact, that's why on Sundays when we come together, I think He's deserving of our worship. Hey, the Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of praise. That's why this morning when we started, when we were worshiping, I was saying, come on, you can do better than that. Why? Because He's worthy of our worship. And guess what? When you do that, when you go there, when you give Him all your worship, all your passionate praise, guess what? Your sanity is going to be restored. Right? Or you could just sit there and worry your life away and try to do it your way and try to figure it out and try to analyze everything and on and on and on. And you may go insane trying to do that. Am I speaking to anybody? Overwhelmed with life problems and trying to figure out which button to push next? Or you can just acknowledge God and give Him all the praise, and everything that you're doing is His, and everything you're doing is for Him, and worship Him in spirit and truth. And I want to tell you, when that happens, God gets in the arrangements and everything changes, right? So number one, exalt the King of Heaven. Number two, acknowledge that God does everything right and His ways are just. Acknowledge that God does everything right and His ways are just. Stop trying to figure everything out. Some of us like to figure everything out. I'm that way at times. I'm a guy that doesn't know how to say hear the word no. I hear a door shut. I say, okay, there's another way in. There's a window. There's some way, you know, and I'll analyze, figure out how can I make this happen, that happen. Sometimes we just need to stop and acknowledge that God does everything right and quit trying to figure everything out. And we live in a society, we want to modify God to fit us. We want to modify the Bible. Listen, if you want your sanity restored, return to God, return to God's Word in simplicity, read what it says, and trust and obey. We used to sing a song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Remember that one? Come on. Trust and obey. It's simple. We have complicated it, folks. We've brought all of our agenda and all of our trying to analyze, and we've complicated it, and it's simple. When we follow God's Word, it works. Somebody used to say, the Word of God doesn't need proof, it needs practice. Can I get a good amen right there? All right. Number three, walk in humility. Walk in humility. And humility is not thinking less of yourself, it's thinking of yourself less. Right? James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourselves in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this word. Yes, a word of warning, but also a word of encouragement. You always leave a way back to You. And there's a way back. Jesus, You actually exemplified that for us, the way to come to the Father, and it's through humility. When You humbled Yourself even to the cross, took upon Yourself our shame, our guilt, our sin, paid our debt in full, that we could live in freedom. Jesus, we humble ourselves before You today. Forgive us for our arrogance. Forgive us, Lord, oftentimes for just fighting with the wind and struggling with life instead of understanding that we are Your children. We belong to You. God, You have promised us that our steps are ordered by You, and everything that comes our way, You'll work it all together for our good, and we trust You in that today. I thank you today. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, and you know that today's the day that you really need to trust him. By trusting, I mean you need to entrust him with your life. You need to surrender. You need to give it to him. You've been pushing and pulling and pumping and priming, trying to get through, and nothing's working, and all it's producing for you is unsettledness. There's a chaos. There's turmoil. There's not peace. Places in your life where there's drama, there need not be. Today, Jesus wants to come and give you peace that passes all understanding. That means even the situation around you may not necessarily change, but in the midst of that, you can enjoy a peace. Oh, that's the place to live, folks. That's the place to live. If you're here today and you know that you just need to make a commitment, maybe there's an area of your life you need to make a commitment to him. You need to say, Jesus, I declare I'm totally dependent upon you, and I declare you the Lord of every area of my life. I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment. If that's you today, you need to pray that kind of a prayer. I just want you to simply, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip up a hand and you can slip it right back down. I just want to know who I'm praying with today and who I'm agreeing with. If that's you, you just need to commit. Maybe commit, and maybe recommit, it may be some area that you need to commit. Just slip up that hand and just put it right back down. Amen. God bless you today. God bless you today. If you need to pray this prayer, would you just, in your heart, just pray this prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life. And I give you everything in my life. I commit every question, every problem, every area of my life to you. And I declare you are the Lord of all. I know today that you're working all things for my good. And when you went on the cross for my sins, you paid everything for me that I could be free. Lord, I thank you for coming into my life, being the Lord of all. Forgive me for going my way. Today I choose life. I choose you. I accept you. I accept your word. I accept your will. I accept your ways. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. In your name I pray.